This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show and a happy Monday to all of you out there. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you had a safe and relaxing weekend. I know I did. I am back and I like to think I'm better than ever. We have so much news to get to and I actually started today off by throwing it out to the Tweeple, the Twitter people. And I said, there's a lot of Rogan news. I'm a little Rogan fatigued, to be honest. It's like every single day. And the reason there is this fatigue
oh,
is
Joe Rogan! Joe Rogan!
Is because the left cannot succeed in taking him down. You know, this is becoming a very much like a Trump thing where they're throwing everything at him. And nothing seems to be working. Spotify doesn't seem to be caving. You know, they're caving a little bit here and there, but not to the extent that the Stelters of the world would like. And so they have to find new things. So this weekend, they compiled a huge video of like 12 or 13 times where Joe Rogan has said the N-word, along with a really terrible joke he made many years ago. And that was the last attempt at trying to get him canceled. Again, it did not work. Because if you're going to cancel him for that, then there's a whole list of people who are also going to need to be canceled, including Howard Stern, a lot of musicians on Spotify, Joe Biden. The list goes on and on. So this entire thing is not about Rogan. And that's why it's kind of exhausting, because even by having the argument or bringing it up, it's a fake argument because the real issue here is not the amount of apologies he makes or, you know, his pledge to vow to learn more or Spotify's pledge to look for more diverse audio talent. This is just he does not fit the left's narrative. They hate him. They want him gone. That's it. And so there's not a lot of nuance in that discussion, really. Now, when I reached out to the audience and I said, I'm a little sick of this story. I've kind of reached my saturation point with this and I don't really want to open the show with it. I said, what are people interested in? What stories, whether it be over the weekend or over the last couple months, do you feel like we're not talking about enough? And the one that I saw in almost all the replies was the truckers. This Freedom Convoy in Ottawa is really capturing not only Canadians' attention, but also here in the United States and across the world. People are really paying attention to this. I actually saw, and it made me chuckle, that, you know, here we have Let's Go Brandon, but the French, they have words for everything, and so do the Canadians. So they're picking up Let's Go Brando, and it's a little mix of Brandon and Trudeau, and I just think it's sometimes things just work. So we're going to have someone on today to talk about this, but there's a piece of this story. And there's all different layers of it. I saw that some of the truckers are starting soup kitchens, you know, off to the side to combat the narrative that all of these troglodytes are just the terrible people that are smashing things as they go and stealing from soup kitchens. And so they're trying to do some positive PR to show that, no, we're actually just freedom-loving Canadians who happen to be truck drivers or support truck drivers who don't want to be told that we have to get a vaccine against our will. And so they're doing a little bit of their own PR, which is great. And the mainstream media and the CBC and all these places in Canada are trying their hardest to paint these people as like the zombies of the Trump apocalypse. I mean, they are. It's hard, though. As hard as it is to paint like regular good people in, let's say, the Midwest as these evil, Trump-loving deplorables, it's even harder with Canadians. Because they're all like, oh, yeah, you know, we're just we're staying strong, passing out the soup to our friends, and we're hoping everyone's staying safe. And yeah, we'll be out here for two more weeks to flatten the curve. it's tough to spin this and make them into monsters. But the media, they try again. So while they're doing that, and all of their narrative is actually unraveling, because there's reports that street crime in Ottawa have actually plummeted the rates of crime since this trucker convoy started.
Thumbs down fights are way down.
Yeah. None of those truckers are seeing the thumbs down and coming out and pummeling women on the street. Damn it. Foiled again, Canadian Karens.
Drive-by thummings.
Yeah, so that's not happening. But a big story that really ticks people off, and you could tell how mad people were by how quickly GoFundMe changed it. But this was the story over the weekend that I went, whoa, no way. And it takes a lot. Let's just be perfectly clear here. It takes a lot at this point for me to say, no way. I mean, government overreach, censorship, all that stuff. We've seen, I have to imagine every time I see a story that it's peaked. And then I see that because all of these people are donating to GoFundMe, and they raised a ton of money, millions of dollars for the truckers. And they used the service GoFundMe, which I thought was a service where you would give money and then whatever the platform or whatever the cause, they would just give it to them. And I'm sure there's like a tax involved. You know, I'm sure they take out their percentage. I'm not that naive. But what they decided to do over the weekend was they decided that they were going to give people until a certain date. And if you did not request your money back from that GoFundMe, they were going to redistribute it to another charity. So they raised about $10 million. And the crowdfunding platform announced that donors had to request a refund by February 19th or else the funds would be redistributed. Now, where they would be distributed to, I'm guessing some charities that are Justin Trudeau approved, very woke, politically correct, birthing people. Who knows what it would have been? But it's not for the truckers. It wasn't for the actual cause that got people to donate. Naturally, people freaked out because this is such a scam. You donate money to something and they go, you know what? We thought about it. We actually really don't like that. We're not big fans of them. We think there's some Russian meddlers involved with the truckers. So we're going to take that money and we'll decide where it goes to. Yeah, we're going to call Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough, and brainstorm a little bit. And we'll figure out some better charities. Maybe the Brian Stelter Communications School of Media. And we'll decide. Because all you dumb people who are donating your hard-earned money, you clearly don't know what you're doing. So Ted Cruz this weekend actually called out the Federal Trades Commission. He was on with Maria over the weekend from Fox News, Maria Bartiromo. And he was just saying, this is fraud. This is theft. This is a scam. You can't do this. So they immediately backpedaled. And although I don't think they're even going to give the money to the truckers, they are going to just issue refunds to people, which is better than them giving money to God knows what charities they deem appropriate. But this is the kind of stuff where I do have to kind of do a double take and go, wait, there is a revolution happening here. And it's happening across the world where a lot of countries are actually lifting their restrictions, lifting their mandates. But the reaction from this elite group of people who think that they know better, the liberal media and the swamp, never ceases to blow my mind. And they're having a harder and harder time demonizing groups that they do not like. And we see that everywhere. Now, on a separate note, but it all kind of ties in, we had a lot of mask hypocrisy over the weekend. And we've been seeing that. We saw it last weekend with LA Mayor Eric Garcetti. No word yet on whether he's still holding his breath, but he got a lot of photos with Magic Johnson. So kudos to him. But it seems like every weekend,
I was very judicious.
There is a politician or a public figure who steals the clown show, who says, no, give me the red nose. I'm going to be the bozo of the weekend. And this weekend, it was Stacey Abrams from Georgia. We will get into this. She sat in a classroom with a bunch of kids. She did not have a mask on. She's smiling. All the kids have masks on. And this is like a new thing. Politicians do this all the time. I saw Kathy Hochul do it. They don't it doesn't even dawn on them how horrible it is that they're making these children wear masks and they're just breathing freely. Unless, of course, they're, like I just said, Eric Garcetti style, holding their breath slash reading to the children at the same time. These are very talented people. I do not deny that. And then another part of this, and we're going to, everything I'm mentioning here, we're going to dive into in more detail, and feel free to weigh in. It's 844-500-4242. But we also have the Olympics going on. And I am not watching them based off the ratings, which are hitting all-time lows. The ratings are horrible. They make CNN look like they're having a good day. But even with that being said, there's a lot of interesting stories and scary stories coming out of the Olympics. So even if you're not watching the Olympics, I would be keeping up with the stories surrounding it because it is frightening. And also, lastly, and this is just all the stuff I'm hitting, we'll get into it more. CNN continues to spiral out of control. Brian Stelter went on this big rant where he tried to, you know, explain to people that CNN is real news. And if you don't get it, then you don't watch CNN. To be fair, he is correct. I do not watch CNN. But I still think that they're not real news. And to be honest, Brian, it doesn't really seem like you watch CNN. Because all you do all day is report on what's on Fox.
So that's the truth.
How many hours do you have in a day? Very, very, very quickly here before I go. Another story I really enjoy about the CNN thing is the Chris Wallace element. Because Chris Wallace just decided to jump ship and go to CNN, and rumor has it, he's not happy with his decision. He's very upset about this. So we will get into all of that. We will take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. I'm also having a guest on from the Post-Millennial at 105 to discuss what's happening in Ottawa and the government's attempt to smear these truckers as these like Russian-influenced monsters. Let's see how that works out for them. March 16th is looming around the corner, and I say looming because this is when the Federal Reserve will gather for their key March meeting, and there could be a devastating announcement on its way. Founder of Manward Press, industry watchdog, and expert investor, Andy Snyder, is predicting a big announcement following the scheduled Fed meeting on March 16th. It could change America forever and have many Americans unloading their investments and running to the bank. With just one move, the most popular asset in America could suddenly be on its way to being illegal. Right now is the time to prepare. Get Andy Snyder's Shockproof Wealth Kit and the simple three-step plan you need to put in place now to help protect your family and your wealth. Learn more at historicwealthevent.com. That's historicwealthevent.com. Learn the simple three steps you need to take now. See how to get your free shockproof wealth kit and learn more at historicwealthevent.com. We'll be right back with all of your calls, 844-500-4242. We're going to have a lot of fun to kick off this week. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Some tweets I liked over the weekend. Nicholas Williams wrote, "Y'all are worried about the wrong Joe." Smiley face.
Come on, man.
The Bradford File wrote, "Joe Rogan should interview Tucker Carlson this week to calm things down." That ought to do it. Yeah, so Rumble's offering Joe Rogan $100 million to leave Spotify. I don't think he's going to do it unless Spotify continues to censor his podcast, but we will keep you posted. As for right now, we have a lot to focus on. We have CNN still reeling from the loss of their hero, Jeff Zucker, who resigned last week. And we also have updates on this freedom convoy that is happening in Ottawa, much to the distress of Justin Trudeau and the liberal media. They do not like this. They think it's like if Canada suddenly started supporting Trump, this is what it would look like. Carly, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Carly.
Hi, Grace. It's so nice to speak to you.
You too.
So
I was at the protest yesterday in Ottawa. I live in Montreal. I'm a mom with a young daughter, and I brought her with me. And the media is doing their utmost to try and smear this as truckers are a bunch of uneducated yahoos who are racist, you know, anything that they can throw out there. And I want to tell you that the atmosphere in Ottawa is one of a Canada Day celebration. People are so friendly, lovely. They had bouncy castles for kids. They were doing face painting. There was free barbecue food everywhere. Police and protesters were standing around propane heating lamps, warming up and chatting. It's nothing like the nonsense that you're hearing in the press about desecrating war memorials and yelling out slurs. I mean, it's an atmosphere, a family atmosphere. So it's really shocking to me. And then I've been following the protests a lot through different media platforms. And actually, last night, they seized all the protesters' or the convoy's fuel, the wood, their firewood, their gas that they had in jerry cans, with snipers up on a roof. And this is in Canada. Like, it's crazy to me. You have everybody in Ottawa upset about the noise and the disruption. And what I would like to say to people in Ottawa is, you know what, if you live in a capital city like Ottawa or Washington, protesting there is part of it. It's as ridiculous to complain about it as it would be to go and buy a house under an air path and then complain about living by an airport. Like, it's a part of a domestic responsibility for people to come out and protest. So it's just shocking. It's shocking about what the media is trying to portray and what the reality is. Both things can't be true at the same time. It's either peaceful or it's not. And with everybody there that has a camera, surely if there were terrible things going on, the media would be playing it over and over and over. And it's just not the case.
Absolutely. Great call, Carly. And to your point, the guest I'm having on in the 1 o'clock, Roberto Wacarel Cruz, he actually wrote about this in the Post-Millennial, and he said the Ottawa police are working with federal intelligence agencies for enhanced intelligence operations and investigations against convoy. In other words, what all of this sounds like to me is show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Can you say Lego set? Anybody? I hope none of these protesters have Lego sets or MAGA hats, because they'll get the same treatment that a lot of Americans got in this country. And you're right. And there was another video, just to go off of what Carly's saying, where everyone is trying to portray this convoy as something that it's not. And if you really understand how the news media works, then you would hear a report from the CBC claiming that there's Russian meddling in Canada over this freedom convoy, and you would laugh it off. But if you're uninformed, if you go to CNN and other places for your news, first of all, God help you. But second of all, you might buy into this. But there's a video, and I'll tweet it out from my Twitter, of a person, a counter-protester, okay? And he's caught faking getting hit by a car. It was a truck that had a Trump flag on it. He's standing in front of the car. The car moves like a tiny inch going forward. He basically throws himself at the car, falls to the ground, starts, ah! And everyone in the video is going, get up, get up. I mean, and one of the comments I really enjoyed was even Jussie Smollett would be embarrassed by this performance. You know, you got to be a professional. You can't just take this on and expect us to believe it. But there really is this distortion of what's happening there. And the amazing thing is that very few people, I think, from who I've talked to, and of course I have more right-leaning friends, but very few people are buying into this idea that it's like this white nationalist fringe group of crazy people who are trying to do harm to all Canadians. I actually saw two Indian protesters who went up to the news cameras and said, we're part of the white fringe minority. Because that's how Trudeau described this. And so Trudeau wanted to describe all of these people as a small fringe of, you know, radical nuts. And you know what they're saying now? Let's go, Brando. 844-500-4242. We will keep discussing this. I also want to talk a little bit about CNN and mask hypocrisy from Stacey Abrams. Don't go anywhere. We got the full day. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. The number is 844-500-4242, and we are starting off the week strong. Tons of stories to get to. I want to start today with this story about Stacey Abrams. She, her campaign, or, you know, her underlings sent out a picture of her sitting with a bunch of kids. She was not masked. All the children were masked. And this immediately made people go, wow, this is hypocritical. I mean, at what point do we take the masks off of these kids if adults are just allowed to do whatever they want?
It's science.
The only people at this point in any of these countries that seem to be dealing with the consequences of this ridiculous theater are children. And it really is bothering everyone. So now, naturally, when Stacey Abrams gets called out for this, well, a few things happen. First, her campaign thought they were helping. This is the part that makes me scratch my head. I can't figure this one out. They thought they were cleaning up the disaster. And they said they reached out to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a far-left newspaper. And this was what one of the people from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution wrote. Stacey Abrams' campaign said she explicitly required kids to put masks on so she could take hers off.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
In other words, like, oh, no, she made sure those kids were masked and she was unmasked. Don't ask me why she thought that was going to help. But then she decided, all right, this isn't working. I'm still getting too much heat for taking my mask off while all these children were forced to keep theirs on. So she decided to try something else. And when all else fails, when the science isn't on your side, when you look like a huge hypocrite, what do you do in the case of Stacey Abrams? Well, you blame racism.
Racism, racism.
You blame racism. And also, like, a variety of other things that I can't really figure out. I'm going to read this statement. People can react. We'll get Jared's reaction. I don't really know. She goes down a lot of different roads here to say, to explain why she's sitting with kids without a mask on. Now, let me be very clear. Let me be clear, as Barack Obama always says. I am weaponizing and pouncing and seizing and milking and, what's the other one I always forget? I always forget.
Salivating.
Salivating. Damn, I don't know why I keep forgetting that. All of the above. A, B, C, D, E, and all of the above I am doing right now. This is not Stacey Abrams' fault that she got caught without a mask on while forcing children to wear a mask. This is Grace Curley's fault for acknowledging it, questioning it, and criticizing it. Okay? So do not get this twisted. I take the blame. I fall on the sword. All of this hatred should be directed at me for merely pointing out how ludicrous these rules are. I just wanted to preface it with that. Now let's get to Stacey Abrams' explanation. Totally logical, not crazy at all, explanation as to why she was caught without a mask on with all of these children. It is shameful that our opponents are using a Black History Month reading event for Georgia children as the impetus for a false political attack. And it is pitiful and predictable that our opponents continue to look for opportunities to distract from their failed records when it comes to protecting public health during the pandemic. Okay, now that's just paragraph one. So buckle up.
But the children love the books.
But the children love the books. It's for the children. So part one is, this is Black History Month. How dare you? I wonder if she was upset when Chuck Schumer forgot about Thurgood Marshall during Black History Month while talking about the historic diversity needed on the Supreme Court, left out Thurgood Marshall. No one seemed mad about that. And that, to me, seemed pretty bad for Black History Month. But apparently, this Georgia reading event is way worse. This is a bridge too far. Okay, so that's paragraph one. Black History Month, reading to children, do not come at me. Okay. Paragraph two. One of Stacey's opponents downplayed the virus while trading stock to profit off the pandemic after his private coronavirus briefings as a senator. Now you've lost me. What this has to do, the trading stock...
I wasn't aware Dr. Fauci was a senator.
Trading stock to profit off the pandemic, all of this sounds very juicy. It almost seems like something that deserves its own statement entirely. But to put that as the second paragraph of why you were sitting on the floor without a mask on with a bunch of children, hard for even me to follow. Now we get to sentence three, paragraph three. Another of her opponents attacked mayors seeking to protect their citizens and has failed to expand access to Medicaid, even as rural hospitals close. It feels like you guys are getting a little off message. Feels like we're trying to do too much with this one statement. Here's the last part. This pathetic, transparent, and silly attack is beneath anyone who claims he wants to lead Georgia. Okay.
Wait, who's the he?
Then in the comments of the post, which is always, can I tell you something right now? Comments of posts are always where you get even crazier, because if you don't get it in the original caption and then you comment, it's like you're spiraling. Something's not right. Okay. In the comments of the post, the Abrams account writes, our opponents took a brief break from pledging fealty to Trump this weekend. I don't know. I think you would have been better off with I held my breath, honestly.
Who said that? The fealty to Trump line? The
Abrams account tweeted it underneath the original statement, or commented underneath it.
Tiffany Cross on MSNBC used the fealty to Trump line this morning.
Oh, it must be in the talking points.
So it must be in the talking points.
Yeah, misinformation, fealty to Trump. There's a few talking points going around today. But Jared, I think that as much as I criticize people for these lame excuses, maybe there is something to just saying, listen, Tony was playing. You know, at least then it's... it's stupid, but we can get it. This is like Medicaid. Yeah. This is like Medicaid, senior citizens, rural hospitals, trading stock to profit, pandemic, Black History Month, silly attacks. I'm lost. I'm trying my best. I'm trying to follow the science. I'm trying to follow the excuses of the science, but I'm very, very confused. I think she would have been better off with, I was holding my breath.
Yes, that's the science right there. Just say, oh, no, I was holding my breath while I was taking my picture with it. But that is, again, somebody put it on Twitter and they basically summed it up. This type of political instinct is why she is not actually the governor of Georgia.
Yes, I would agree.
I mean, again, who is the he in that statement that they were talking about?
I think that he
wants to run Georgia. Who's he? Who are they?
I think that she was doing really well when she decided to have a scheduling conflict when Joe Biden came to town. She actually moved up a little bit as far as I was looking at her political stock. And now she's moved down again. But we do have to follow the science. And this is what this segment is going to be about today. We have to follow the science because it's ever changing. Okay. The science evolves, unless you're a Republican, in which case misinformation and you should be banned from all platforms. But, you know, we are identifying as liberals today, so our science is evolving. Now, with that said, there was a big change up from CNN. Well, there was two things. One is Dr. Lena Wen. If you're not familiar with Dr. Lena Wen, she was the doctor who talked about masks as facial decoration, even though she's a huge fan of it. She still called them facial decoration while saying like, oh, but definitely wear four or five all over your face. No, I think she stopped at two, but big fan of the masks. Listen to what she said about the government mandating and declaring emergencies. She's on CNN with Wolf Blitzer, cut 14.
You say we can start removing at least some coronavirus restrictions now. Tell us why.
Well, I agree with Colorado, with many other local and state jurisdictions that are beginning to lift government mandates. And I think this is the key. I'm not saying that we should be stopping masking, but rather that this needs to shift from a government requirement to an individual decision. The government can't keep on telling our citizens that this is a five-alarm fire all the time. People are just going to start tuning it out and not pay attention. They'll be desensitized. And so what needs to happen is we need to end the state of emergency policy and preserve the ability of public health authorities to reinstitute mandates in the future if we see more dangerous variants later.
On the first part, you're 2 years late. That's number one for Dr. Lena Wen. On the second part about helping preserve public health authority for when it's needed later, no thank you. I think we are all set on that. I think we've had our dose as far as like our generation, anyone who's alive right now in this time period has had their dose of government authority to last them the rest of their lives. It's like when you overdo it with something like chocolate milk and you never need to look at it again. We have had enough of the experts. We've had enough of the mandates, of the guidance, of the stickers on the floor, of the plexiglass. We are good. We are good till the end of time. Thank you, Dr. Lena Wen, for your update, but we are all set. Now,
so if I understand her statement, we need to back off now and let people do stuff so they reelect us. And then once we're reelected, we can find new variants and start it all over again.
But don't forget, people like Dr. Lena Wen and Dr. Fauci, they're not elected. They just want this to happen forever. And I love the idea that people are going to become desensitized to it. What gives you that idea, Lena? That really, you are so on the ball. It's impressive. Now, speaking of wearing the masks and absolutely no sense, Joe Biden and Jill Biden were seen disembarking from Marine One. Both in these like pea coats and sunglasses, big sunglass family, both with masks on outside.
She said Broadway.
Outside, masks on, nothing makes sense. And that's always the part of this that drives me crazy. It's not only when they choose to wear the masks, because that is just idiotic. It's when they choose not to wear the masks, you know? It's like, oh, am I going to meet Jimmy Carter today? Mask off. Oh, am I taking a picture with Magic Johnson? Mask off. Am I walking in a field by myself? Hand me that N95 or KN9, whatever they're called. Hand it to me. Give me two. Give me a hazmat suit. Doesn't make any sense. Now, Bill Maher was also talking about this. I'm going to play a little bit of it. We'll play the rest of his sound. But he's really been on top of it as far as COVID goes. Let's play Cut 10, please, Jared.
It's time to do what a growing list of countries have done and announce we're going back to something more like normal, beginning with recognizing that what we're doing to kids is unnecessary and horrible, and I don't even like kids. But making kids who have a COVID survivability rate of 99.98% mask up like bandits. Unfortunately, the thing that's getting stolen is their education, their sanity, and their social skills.
Yeah, and speaking of that, and I'll continue to play these cuts from Bill Maher, but there was a teacher on WPBF 25, and she's a speech therapist, and she mentioned the same thing. Can I have cut 24, please, Jared?
We've seen a 364% increase in patient referrals of babies and toddlers from pediatricians and parents.
And they are children that are having a difficult time speaking.
Speech delayed.
364%. You know, there's some speech therapists where you go in and they still make you wear the masks. I've read stories about that. It's just absolutely nuts. And also, speaking of all of this, and speaking of, you know, Bill Maher is talking about how we have to let these kids take the masks off for their education, for their social skills. And I would argue that we have to start really, really being very skeptical of anything we hear as far as experts go. Because I was told just the other day that Joe Rogan spreads misinformation. And then this doctor, Ezekiel Emanuel, on MSNBC, said that kids are either going to get vaccinated or they're going to get a serious condition from Omicron. Well, now he's released a statement. Turns out, oops, I misspoke. I consider that misinformation. So this is all stuff that we're going to be discussing. Feel free to weigh in. It's 844-500-4242. I have tons of sound still to get to. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Bonner Private Wines. Real red wine, not chemically processed, no morning regrets, just great taste. Made in small batches from family wineries throughout the world. Go to B-O-N-N-E-R, privatewines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Joe Rogan will leave Spotify for Rumble?
This is an update. So on February 7th, which would be today, Rumble put out a note. The CEO of Rumble said, "Dear Joe, we stand with you, your guests, and your legion of fans in desire for real conversation. So we'd like to offer you 100 million reasons to make the world a better place. How about you bring all of your shows to Rumble, both old and new, with no censorship, for 100 million bucks over 4 years? This is our chance to save the world. And yes, this is totally legit." I'm going to say no as of right now.
54% say no, 46% say yes.
Wow, very close poll question. I love that. Okay, can we play an old cut here, Jared? Because I want to give everyone an update from Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. This is an old cut of him. Not that old, though. This is just from last week, where he's giving his hot take on Omicron.
With the Omicron variant, you know, kids are either going to get the vaccine or they're likely to get a serious condition of Omicron. Having Omicron with the vaccine is almost invariably going to be better and safer for children. I am confused about parents' attitude. 5 and above seems like it's a no-brainer. 2 to 5, I understand some hesitancy. 2 and under with the small dose, I think probably a very good idea.
All right, so he's confused why parents don't trust people like him to tell them what to do and tell them whether or not their kids should get vaccinated from a disease, as Bill Maher pointed out, they have a 99.98% chance of recovering from. But he's confused. He's confused. So let's shed a little light for Ezekiel. In fact, we're going to fast forward to today. And Ezekiel actually is a little less confused than he was before. He said, "I misspoke on live TV. Unvaxxed kids aren't likely to get a serious condition of Omicron, but they're more likely to contract a case of Omicron. To be clear, parents should protect their kids against COVID-19 and get them vaccinated." It seems like you answered your own question as to why parents are confused, because maybe parents don't trust lying bureaucrat hacks like you who change your mind every single day and seem intent on spreading panic porn. Could that be where the confusion comes from? Huh? I'm so sick of these experts giving their 2 cents on what other people want to do and what medical decisions people want to make for their children. It's gross. And I think everyone has had enough of it. But thank you, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, for sharing your wisdom on MSNBC. Did you go to the same school as Justice Sotomayor? She thinks there's 100,000 kids in the hospital on ventilators with Omicron. Maybe you two can get together and sort this out. There'll be a little less confusion going forward. Okay, we're speaking with someone from the post-millennial who's going to give us all the updates on the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa. If you have any questions about it, text them in to 63566. I'll ask our guest when we return.